when do you feel that discrimination toward the Chinese ended, if it indeed did so?
I really don't know if it has ended, but I think I'll let my husband answer that question.
Well, there is a much improvement after the passage of the Civil Rights Act in 1965, plus also in conjunction with the enforcement of the affirmative action rule. Of course, like any society, we're in a minority, there are bound to be a certain amount of discrimination, and certain places are biased against maybe still perhaps a higher position in a promotional stance. But in social life, that got to be accepted, because you cannot enforce anything which is pertaining to social life. If a certain nationality, or principally the Caucasian, mm-hmm. if they care and like the Chinese, they will be gladly mingle and associate with Chinese. If they have other feeling, naturally they're going to shy away in that aspect of social life, in co-mingling with the Chinese or different minorities. There will always exist a certain amount of discrimination and bias against a minority group. After all, I think many times, as I observed through my years in school and so on and so forth, I happened to, art is my hobby, and I know distinctly our feature is far different from the feature of the Caucasian, and actually we just seem a little strange to them sometimes, although time has erased a lot of that, because the Caucasian people of the Western world, as the years go by, they know more about the Chinese and their culture and advanced civilization and the long line of civil government stemming from way back many centuries, thousand years ago. They have more respect and admiration for the teaching of the Chinese, which for a thousand years, the teaching of the core ethics of Confucius, which is a combination of philosophy and religious concept, mm-hmm. that have been handing down to the Chinese through a thousand years of the Chinese teaching, which teach the core ethics, is admirable to the Caucasian people, the white race of the Western world, because the Chinese believe in the family unity and filial piety. And it's just the teaching of Confucius, which is a combination of the Ten Commandments and Golden Rule combined. Mm-hmm. So in due time, they learn to accept us, that these people are not barbarian. They're from advanced civilized country, and the culture been in existence for thousands of years. So consequently, the erasure of a discrimination and bias eventually eroded. So today, mm-hmm. it's not discernible easily as in the previous year prior to the enactment of the Civil Rights Act of 1965. So the Chinese, the younger generation coming into this country today has a better opportunity to get ahead and a better opportunity to go to school and improve themselves in other professional in many professional fields, mm-hmm. besides the stereotype business the Chinese always had when they come to this country, which they had no opportunity to go to school and further get ahead themselves. So consequently, many restaurants and laundry and carol shop was open in the United States, because no other business was available to them, or nor they have the opportunity to get help to operate things, diversify industry besides this certain stereotype business, the Chinese, that the American people which consider that is a very menial job, and they do not care for it. But for the Chinese, we work hard and we manage to make a living, and we have a good business, and we take care of our family.
What type of jobs would most Chinese consider to be ideal for themselves or for their children?
You mean before
World War II?
Mostly, it seems like all the Chinese have their own business here in Chinatown, and all the children are expected to work for the father. So there aren't very many outside jobs that they're allowed to go to. In addition, not very many Chinese are allowed to go into the college so that they could learn a professional job like in recent years. So most of the time, those that are able to get jobs are the ones that go work for the Caucasian people as houseboy, housemaids, or a lot of them like work in the laundry. They go help the family work in the laundry, or like we have a restaurant, we all help in the restaurants.
Are those the kinds of jobs that were typical among Chinese before World War II, the houseboys and maids, so on and so forth?
I couldn't think of anybody that well known for, you know, anything. Here in Los Angeles anyway, I know that there are some highly educated people from China that were in a college, and they were up into science work. And in fact, there were a couple of Chinese that won the Nobel Prize and things like that.
But I think
what you want to know was when we were kids, what we were doing.
The typical kind of job.
Yeah, the typical kind. I don't even remember any of my friends really working for anybody doing anything, not even clerking in dime store or anything like that. Most of them worked with their family business.
How about your brothers, all your brothers and sisters? Do you not?
My sisters never worked. My brother worked at the restaurant. The brother next to me, Bill, worked at the restaurant. My older brother worked at the restaurant too with my father. All work in the restaurant.
None of them
Go outside and work until later life, I guess, when everything got more modern and less discrimination, and they were more, you know, hiring more minority people elsewhere. I don't think they even would hire a minority person or a Chinese at the dime store or someplace to be a salesperson.
Yeah, in your last interview you mentioned that your father sent money back to China, right?
To support the relatives, yeah.
Right. Did you have to do that at all?
After you started working?
Oh, no, he wouldn't expect me to do that. It's his job, not mine, he felt. It's his job to support everybody. That's why he didn't feel that we should go to work for somebody. Working for him is one thing, but to go work for somebody to my father was beneath.
But you eventually did, though.
That was after I was married.
That was okay after you were married?
Yeah.
Oh.
Then I need to, we moved out here, and, my husband was in service. That was when I went and got my first job.
So
I worked in the produce business. That's my first job working for somebody. You know, I speak Chinese all the time at home. Consequently, when I went out to work, first American English-speaking job, I have a slight accent is because I speak Chinese when I was young. I didn't even speak much English until I started working for somebody, like I said, after I was married, my first job working where we have to speak English.
You say your father had to send money back to China to support their relatives. Did he manage to save some money after doing that?
Well, of course he must have. He not only sent money support, and he brought many relatives over and give them jobs at the restaurant until they're self-independence, self-supporting. Sometimes he even helped them start their own business, loan them money to start the business.
What did he do with the money that he saved?
Put it in a bank, I presume.
Is that typical of most Chinese?
What would they do with it if not put it in a bank? I really don't know. A lot of them, many Chinese, not only my father, you know, sent money home to support family, relatives. Most Chinese, as you know, when they first came here, they just came here just as a sojourn, you know, for a little while to just get enough money to support the family back home, and they all hope to go back to China one day. So did my father. He always wanted to go back to China. He wanted to die in China, and if not, at least to be buried back there.
But he didn't do that, though.
He couldn't, because then World War II came, then the communists took over. So consequently, he died here, and he was buried here. But I knew that his fondest dream long ago was to go back to China and at least to be buried there.
Did his friends also think the same way?
Oh, I'm quite sure they all do. I know my father-in-law was very strong if I go back to China.
Your father-in-law?
Yeah, my husband's father.
Oh.
He went back.
He did?
Yeah.
And he...
Right after he did... I think he went back in 49.
Mm-hmm. And he stayed?
He stayed there, yeah. He sold the grocery store that the family had and in Phoenix and took the money and went back and he bought more property in Guangzhou City. And then the commies were getting after him too much. He fled to Hong Kong and he died in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. How many people you knew actually went back to China?
Yeah, I don't know. We went back and came back. And my big brother, Mama Kwan's family, they went back and they stayed there several years until the Japanese War chased them back. So they came back during the Japanese War, I think. That was just prior to World War II.
Approximately how many people your father, how many of your relatives your father brought into the United States?
Gee, a lot of them. Some of them are not even close relatives. But he brought my... some cousins over, several cousins, raised. In fact, two of them, they lived with us just like our brothers, and then they worked at the restaurant when they were old enough. We went back to China, like 27, we went back. He took them back, and one of them, both of them got married and brought them back again.
Just like their own family.
Yeah, just like own brother, because they are sons of uncles.
Mm-hmm.
Not even uncle. My two cousins, let's see, their grandfather and my grandfather were brothers, so I guess we're cousins somehow or other. Anyway, they lived with us, grew up with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one was even one generation back, and my father brought him over, Tommy, and he lived with us until he grew up. And at the time, we were living with my brother and Mama Kwan's family together at one house with the relatives. We're all just one big family.
Mm-hmm. How did the most Chinese men meet their wives?
In China. They all come here to work, and they went back to China to get married.
What about those that are born here?
That are born here?
Your husband.
What?
How did you two meet?
Oh, well, he happened to come to Los Angeles to see another girl, and a friend introduced him to me. He was the most handsome Chinese, because I never saw Chinese so tall. You know? But in the old days, there were a lot of family arrangements. My mother was really worried that I wasn't going to get married, I guess, because they were so happy. When I was young, my parents were very strict. They wouldn't let me go dating. They wouldn't let me go partying. I don't know how they expect me to find a husband, because I'm not allowed to go anywhere. I presumed they would just arrange to find me a husband.
Did they try to arrange you?
Oh, I presume so. I know my mother stick my pictures out to ladies. I got so mad when I found out about it. They were really going through, I'm quite sure many of the people in the old days were married by arrangement. However, I don't know of any of my girlfriends doing that.
Did any of your family, your brothers or sisters were through
arrangement? Oh, heaven no. After my days, they became very modernized, and good thing my mother modernized along with time. We grew with time and finally allow them to do as they wish. Even I guess my mother's wishes, they did it anyway. You know how the younger generations are.
Did you know of anybody who were born here and went back to get married, either to find a wife or a husband?
Oh, yeah.
Many?
His brother did. My husband's brother did.
Mostly men, right?
Yeah,
women did not
women.
Go back to find
the
husbands.
The people that, the Chinese girls are born here, they do not like what they call FOB Chinese.
Ah.
Because their culture and social life background are so different. They have very, they couldn't get along that well.
Mm-hmm. Well, why would the American-born Chinese men go back to their wives?
Not very many American-born Chinese men go back. They usually marry Chinese girls that are born here, but a lot of them came when they were young from China.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have such of a Chinese way that the modern Chinese girl do not like to be married to a Chinese that are typically Chinese old-fashioned, they call it. They cannot live that way because they are brought up in this country and they have a different kind of background.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I was raised up very Chinese and everything like that, I would not want to marry a man that just came from China.
Mm-hmm. Were you eager to have sons after you got married?
I didn't care, really. My father-in-law was eager that our first child was a son, but I really didn't care.
What about your girlfriends and other friends?
I really don't think the younger generation care that much, but all the older generation, like my father's generation, they all want sons.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of interracial marriage? Did you witness any cases?
Oh, we have an international family ourselves. Mm-hmm. My daughter was married to a Caucasian twice, first and second husband. First husband was an Englishman, second was a German, but she's divorced now. One of my brother was married to a Korean girl. In fact, his was the first intermarriage between a Chinese and Korean in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article written in a book about it. Uh-huh.
So,
and then
how about your parents? How did they feel?
Oh, my mother.
So supposedly, you wanted to marry an American.
Oh, they would have killed me at my days if I had married. They would have disowned me, if not killed me anyway.
But when your brother married
by then, I have a brother right next to me is married to a Chinese girl. And then this brother.
Younger or older?
Younger.
Uh-huh.
So he was the fourth one. By then, I was married to a Chinese. My brother after me married a Chinese. My sister after the brother, the third, was married to a Chinese. Then George met Betty, a Korean girl. So he was the first one to marry outside the Chinese race. My mother had fits. But my father didn't mind so much. I really was very surprised. I thought it would be, you know, vice versa, that my father would be the one that would object it and my mother would be more lenient. But no, my mother didn't like it. My father said, well, you know, she's Oriental, looks Chinese, so what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So then later on, one sister married a French man, French descendant, one married a German descendant, and a younger brother married an Italian girl. And
then it's okay, right?
Yeah, by then it's okay. And then nephews, they're married Japanese. There's many Japanese girls in the family, including my brother and sister-in-law, Mama Kwan's family. We have, you know, many Japanese in the family. And like I said, we have a very international family.
So more and more than your mother accepts. And
oh, yes, she started. Just
very
even if she didn't accept that, she had to, because by then they were doing what they liked.
When did your brother marry the Korean?
It was after World War II. He was in service.
Mm-hmm. What about Chinese schools? Did you insist that your kids go to Chinese school?
That's where I was selected. I had one of my daughters go to Chinese school very much. But she was in American school, a lot of activities in school, and do a lot of things that I used to never have a chance to do anyway. Mm-hmm. So I never did try to push her to go until she was about 8. She finally decided she would like to go to Chinese school, so she started going to Chinese school. After 3 months, she came home one day, she was reading Chinese to me in a sing-song voice. You know how Chinese, and I sat there and I laughed so hard. She quit going.
Oh no.
She refused to go back. But see, when she was a baby until she was like 4 years old, my mother raised her because I was working. So she had a very good Chinese background. She learned Chinese.
Mm.
In fact, when she went to kindergarten, they wouldn't even let her go to first grade because she didn't know English. She only spoke Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a very good Chinese background. So that's why I wasn't pushing her that much to go learn Chinese, because she actually knew Chinese then.
Mm-hmm.
It was only later when she started going first grade, second grade, that she lost her Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
By the time she was third grade, I think she started realizing she wanted to go to Chinese school. It was a little bit late. She said she found herself 8-year-old among the 6 years old, and she felt a little, you know, too old too. And I was a little sorry that it got up. But later on, when she went to USC, she lived with my mother again, because mother lived near USC. So
mm-hmm.
for 4 years she was living there. Again, she was with the Chinese background and Chinese culture, so she learned a lot in Chinese, so
mm-hmm.
that was all right.
Did many Chinese parents think it's important to send the kids to Chinese school?
I think so, otherwise there wouldn't have been so many Chinese schools sprouting everywhere. There was Zhonghua Haokao, and the Methodist, Mei Mei, and Presbyterian has one,
mm-hmm.
and on 26 Adams Street there was another church school. There were quite a few Chinese who are around the Chinese communities.
Mm-hmm.
All Chinese, I think, wanted their kids to learn. But whether they learn or not in school is another matter.
Mm-hmm.
All my sisters and brother all went to Chinese school.
Mm-hmm.
But they all didn't learn as well as when I was young. We were more dedicated to learning than they were.
Mm-hmm. Why there's such a change?
The younger ones didn't care so much about Chinese history, Chinese culture, or even learning to really speaking Chinese.
Do you feel more Chinese or American?
Chinese, of course.
Oh.
I don't feel American at all, but I claim to be American only to when I go out in the American world and trying to get have some of the American privilege and advantages that sometimes are denied to Asian, that then I would say, no, I'm American too, you know, and I should have the rights and things like that. But I think I'm all Chinese. I feel Chinese anyway.
Did your friends ever say that they felt bad or they wanted to be American?
Not my generation, no. Only the much younger generation, like my nieces and nephews. I know that I have some nieces and nephews wouldn't even own up to being a Chinese if they didn't look Chinese, probably. I have niece married to an Italian fellow, and her child doesn't even know she's Chinese, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or many of the others. I have another nephew married to an Italian girl, and other kids, they don't speak Chinese, they don't even know about Chinese. Yes.
Yeah, and does that mean your niece and nephew do not think of themselves as Chinese? Or that their kids don't?
No, their kids don't. I don't think they realize. I don't think they care.
Mm-hmm.
They all consider themselves Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all say we're Americans, now we claim Chinese American anyway, now that we're citizens. The younger kids, I think they're all just Americans. They don't really care about their background, whether they're Chinese, Mexican, Jews, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'd be very intermarriage, intermixed. Maybe that's a better thing, give a better world, I don't know.
Did most of your friends feel the same way you do, that they were Chinese, and other than, you know, legally?
As I say,
they were American.
All my own friends felt that way, of my generation.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Most of their children, I don't
How
have
do your children feel?
My daughter, she's
Does she think she's more Chinese or American?
Oh, she wanted to trace her Chinese roots now. And she was very embarrassed when she was in Taiwan. She couldn't speak Chinese, and she couldn't get the taxi cab driver to take her to the Chinese hotel, the hotel that her travel agent had booked for her, because it was on a Sunday. Nothing was open.
Your daughter speaks Cantonese, but not Mandarin.
Right. Right.
Okay, so that's why she was having problems in Taiwan.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, and you think the way she feels about being Chinese is a typical of people of her generation?
I think so, because she is more of an older group than the...
How old is she now?
She's 40.
Uh-huh. I see. How about your grandchildren?
I don't have any.
Oh. And what about... other aspects of, say, for instance, recreation. Do you play mahjong, anything like that?
Oh, long ago, in my younger days, I used to play mahjong, but I don't anymore. But my mother played mahjong a lot. She was a mahjong fiend.
Oh, I see.
Did you go to Chinese operas?
Oh, when I was young, we used to go. My family, they always go. Every Sunday, we go to Chinese opera. When we were young, we have all kinds of Chinese things. We observe Chinese New Year,
mm-hmm.
and we all get dressed up and New Year's Day and go visit all the Chinese family, and they always make those Chinese, Chinese dim sum and things like that. They go,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's very close together in Old Chinatown when we're young. We observe all the holiday, August the 15th, July, Chut, but it's something. New Year is a very big deal.
Do you do that now? And any of that mahjong stuff?
No, I don't. Since I started working, I didn't have time to go play mahjong. And right now,
What do you do for recreation these days? Watch
TV. My husband and I are taking disco lessons.
But before World War II, mostly you play mahjong and go to Chinese opera. And do you go to American movies in those days?
Yes.
How about your parents?
No. Oh, when I was very young, I was not allowed to go to the movies as much as my brother was. The other one were too young, but the one right next to me were allowed to go every week, but as a girl, I'm supposed to stay home, you know, learn to cook, learn to sew, all those Chinese things.
I see.
My father didn't believe in any of those modern day stuff. He was very old fashioned.
You say you wanted to watch football games and therefore stopped going to Chinese school for a while. Were you very much into football?
Well, you know, when you're in high school, you're very much into everything, after school activities, you know, going to the games and different things like that.
Your father has had any objection to that?
If he objected, by then I was old enough to know my own mind to at least try to get a little freedom for myself. He really appreciated my helping him, and so he wasn't that strict about me.
In old Chinatown, when it was still exist, were there any Chinese opera house there?
Oh yes, there was one near old Chinatown.
What's the name of the opera house?
I couldn't remember. It was nearby where Casa used to live, that way.
And
First Street, kind of near J-Town there, First Street someplace.
Were there many Chinese go there?
Oh, it was packed. Well, only Chinese go. Of all the kids and noise and all the musical instruments go bang, 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 and all was so noisy. Kids, like, we just love to go because we want to go there. You get to eat all the little things, you know, they buy things to try to keep you quiet.
Yeah.
Little goodies, and we get to eat. Later, I kind of get onto the story. Then when I was a little older, kind of got interested in it.
They show every day or once a week?
No, I think once a week, usually weekends.
Uh-huh. Who were the players?
From China. We don't always have it, if I remember correctly. Every time a group would come over, then they would, you know, have the Chinese opera. And all the Chinese would try to go. They would have, like, every night for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they would move on to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, maybe another group.
Did any American-born Chinese learn how to sing operas or perform with the groups? Most of them from China.
I'm not aware of any.
Mm-hmm.
In Los Angeles anyway, maybe in San Francisco, I know a lot of them learned to play Yang Kam and things like that. Well, there were some here too. In fact, I can remember one girl that used to die Yang Kam, but don't know whether she was born here or she came from China. I just know that she used to perform in Chinese functions, holidays and things like that, so.
Do you still celebrate Chinese New Year's?
Not anymore.
When
I don't
did
even
you stop?
Celebrate American New Year. After I was married.
Oh, yeah, when you were young, you celebrate all these Chinese holidays. Did you
My mother celebrated, my father, so there, you know, we just go along with it.
Did your parents celebrate American holidays as well, like Christmas,
no.
Thanksgiving? No.
Another thing, when we were young, we don't even know what Christmas was, really. Santa Claus never come to Chinatown. My parents never tell me about Santa Claus. The only thing I know is Christmas. Every year Christmas time, my father would wrap a package of lychee nut and a package of tea together in Christmas wrap, one for the principal of the school, one for my homeroom teacher, and each sister and brother would take one for the same thing, and other Chinese family all do the same. They know it's a day that you're supposed to give gifts, and everybody take gifts to the school. Maybe they know it's Christmas, but I'm sure none of the Chinese knew the real meaning of Christmas, what it stood for, and why they just know give, and in school they would give us some used toys that they contributed to the school to give us, and we were so happy, we didn't even know any difference, so happy to get a doll or whatever to bring home.
Did you keep in touch with relatives and friends in China?
I didn't know them that well. My father was the one that did all the correspondence with relatives. When I came back, part of China was, that was it.
Mm. So your father actually wrote
back
and...
he wrote back.
Did you ever take any herbal teas and things of that sort?
All the time. When we were young, my father doctored us, and he prescribed herbal teas for every cold, every fever, every small ailment. That's why I don't like to drink black coffee, because they remind me of herbal tea.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents ever take you to herbalist?
No, my father he's not a graduate doctor or anything, but he just learned by himself. He self-educated himself in being a doctor. So he always prescribed for families, friends, even friends come to him. And
where did he get these herbs?
I think he read up in books. He said he just learned it by himself, read it in books.
So actually, he also sell.
He doesn't sell anything. He just write the
prescription.
And
it's prescription.
And then we
go
to the Chinese
herbalist,
Chinese drugstore, and buy the drugs. And my mother, you know, she was illiterate, but she knows a lot of Chinese thing and how to. Like when we have a cold, I used to memorize the prescription, what the recipe in the prescription for cold, and I would go to the Chinese drugstore and stand there and start reciting the items that I was supposed to pick up to take home for the medicine. I think I still remember
some.
Still
remember some?
Like San Jia Ma Nga, Bong Hong, GC, and some of those things that make up for the cold.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, as a child, would go there and I would just rattle it off, and they know what I want. They would, you know, give them the money and take the thing home.
Do you think on the whole that the Chinese have done better or worse than the general population in Los Angeles?
Well, in recent years, I think we have done very well. Lately, we didn't really have a lot. I'm not doing it myself.